2 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bibles, and I'm going to try to do this in 14 minutes, maybe 16, so I hope you'll pay attention. This is an important message for our people, and again, I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in keeping with the Awana theme verse as well, and I want you to see a few texts here in 2 Timothy, if you can discern a common theme in the Word of God about these last days. Chapter 2, verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about with words to no profit. Don't argue about wasteful words, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not men. You're not trying to impress anybody. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So don't strive about words of no profit. Study the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers or different lusts. Verse 14, same chapter. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, Timothy, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. We have a bunch of little Timothys in the room, in the room tonight. They've known the Holy Scriptures from a child, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and so on. In other words, the whole gist of what Paul is saying to young Timothy is this. In the last days, when times are, quote, perilous, people that call themselves Christians are going to go off the main highways of God's word and God's truth. They're going to leave the roadways, if you will, and travel instead on a bunch of little byways and rabbit trails. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, he warns of this, and in 1 Timothy 4:16. And you know, we read a moment ago, 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. In other words, look, stay on the main roads, Timothy. Stay in the Word of God. Stay on the main road of Scripture. Don't get sidetracked, if you will, in the perilous last days by the byways of the times you're living in. There's a great illustration of this in the book of Judges. I'm going to read it to you. Judges chapter 5 and verse 6 says this. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. Now, you know, most of you know the book of Judges is a period, is a book about Israel's apostasy and decline. The theme of Judges is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So it says in verse 6 that the travelers, that the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through the byways. Pastor, what does that mean? Well, what it meant was, in Deborah and in Barak's case, the people traveled on the highways, or they avoided the highways and the roadways precisely because those were perilous days. Out of fear, confusion, laziness, division, out of self-willed anarchy, people avoided the main roads of the day. The very reason why Deborah was called to leadership and a role of leadership in the first place is that the men were weak and they were useless. So there was no safety, if you will, during those days. There was no guidance, no order. So that again, the roadways, God says, were abandoned. The byways were very busy. Well, that brings us again to this text in 2 Timothy, because the book of 2 Timothy, Paul talks about perilous times. He talks about a day of spiritual apostasy. Men will not endure, they won't endure any kind of sound doctrine that is the Word of God. He says in chapter 3, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. He warns Timothy that these perilous times will be times when people are just covetous, disobedient, traitors, fierce, despisers of those that are good. In other words, Paul describes a spiritual decline that's very similar to the spiritual and social decline I just read about in Judges chapter 5. And you know what's interesting to me in the comparison between Judges and 2 Timothy is something that Paul repeats at least three times. For example, 2 Timothy 2:14, you'll see, Paul tells Timothy to watch out for those who strive about words to no profit, subverting the hearers. In other words, look, he's warning him that in these perilous times, and it's always this way, there are going to be a lot of teachers come along that will make great issues about little technical meanings of certain words. They will subvert the hearers by engrossing them in questions that God doesn't even answer in His Word, which is to say that in these perilous times, people will avoid the highways. People will avoid the obvious things in the Word of God and travel instead these little byways and these little rabbit trails. They're like the Pharisees that the Lord Jesus rebuked in Matthew 23. He called them hypocrites because they tithed on spices. They tithed on anise and mint, and they omitted, he said, the weightier matters of the law. What are the weightier matters? Those are the highways. Those are the main roads. Those are the main doctrines of the Word of God. And so, the gnats that the Pharisees strained to swallow were these byways. And you know what the Lord Jesus was teaching was to stay with the weightier matters. Stay on the main roads in those perilous times. But Pastor Jesus also said, these ought ye to have done. Yes, byways are good at times as byways. Sometimes you travel on these various roads and you discuss them. But listen, folks, the reason they're called byways is that they're byways. If I'm going to travel, for example, to Tennessee tomorrow, and I know Evan's traveling up to South Carolina tomorrow, then I've got to stay on the main road. I've got to take I-20 and I-40 and I-95. That will get me there, but Trapper Nelson's little path to the best fishing spot that he had is not going to do me any good. So Paul tells Timothy in the same chapter, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. What's he talking about? He's talking about byways. Don't go anywhere near all these peripherals. In Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus stated the principle of first things that we preached on not long ago. He said, first, you cast the beam out of your own eye. First, you seek His kingdom. In other words, look, essentials before incidentals, eternal before temporal, established before the new or the novel. Not all these detours, not all these distractions, and not all these diversions. That's what Paul meant when he said to Timothy, this one thing, in Philippians, he said, this one thing I do. Now, wait a minute, Paul didn't do just one thing, did he? Well, in comparison to all the byways, in comparison to all the rabbit trails, he did one thing. Paul never did get sidetracked on the rabbit trails of money or sports or entertainment or politics or even theology or buildings or hobbies. He always stayed and taught them to stay on the main roads of the Word of God. He's telling Timothy that in these last days, perilous times will come. Well, guess what, folks? They are here. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. They already have. And so they'll strive about these people who profess to be Christians. They'll strive and fight about these byways to no profit, and they avoid the roadway, the main thing. That's the way it was, again, in the days of Shamgar and Jael. The highways were unoccupied. The byways were very busy. Well, that brings me to this very quickly. These potential words of no profit, these potential rabbit trails that people get on in Christianity today in America, in our society, these ways that you're supposed to avoid, what are they in contradistinction to the main roads that God is talking about? God has plotted a map for us. And the main highways, beloved, are very clear. They are very certain in the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever used a AAA triptych. I have. I used to all the time. Nowadays, with iPhones, you don't need them anymore, but they were big back in the day. How many of you know what that is? A AAA? Sure, you've probably used them. And, you know, they're just maps, page by page, 50-mile segments, and it shows you. You can flip it while you're going on your road. And, you know, they're for mainly, I think, the men who think they're Christopher Columbus, and they highlight the highways. They put it literally, they go yellow or a pink or a purple highlighter, and they highlight the main roads. You couldn't get any simpler. Men don't ask for directions, so they say, right? There was this crotchety old man who wasn't a very good spouse. He used to say the same thing to his wife in front of a lot of other people. He used to say, when I'm gone, I'm going to crawl out of my grave, he said, and I'm going to haunt you the rest of my life. Well, one day, he finally went to the grave. And you know, the funeral, her neighbors and friends were kind of worried. And they said, you know, I know it's crazy, but aren't you afraid he'll actually do it, crawl out of his grave and haunt you the rest of your life? And she said, let him try. I buried him upside down, and he never asked for directions. Amen? So, AAA, you have this triptych, and you know, it's easy, clear. Highways are marked, but you know what men do? They like, if you've ever seen one, you flip it up, you can also open it this way. And if you open it this way, you've got all these little tributaries and byways and little shortcuts that men like to take and get lost. There are hundreds of those. But you know, spiritually speaking, God has given us a roadmap with the main roads. And I got to tell you, when I counsel people, and I counsel folks who've made a mess out of their lives, Christians that are in serious spiritual trouble, here's what I almost always find. Somewhere along the way, they got off the clearly marked roads of God's Word, the simple truths of Scripture, and they got off to wandering around on some byway of men. You say, Pastor, what are the highways in the Word of God? What are the main roads that we're supposed to be traveling and not be distracted from? What are they? I mean, if fear and rebellion and division and perilous times have come, what are these main roads? There are three I want to discuss in about 10 minutes. And I'm telling you, if we as God's people and if churches in America, if they would simply stick to these truths, we would travel the clearly marked roads that God has given us, there wouldn't be, I don't think, all this needless sorrow and failure and heartache and deception and division that the trouble that Paul warned about. What are they? The first one, the first main road in Scripture, number one, is the highway of love for God. In chapter 3 and verse 1, I want you to look at it. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Please hear this. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. You know, it doesn't matter tonight if you know by heart and you can recite all of the kings of Israel during the united monarchy and the divided monarchy and the surviving kingdom from the deportation of Israel to Judah's defeat and exile. It doesn't matter if you can recite all of them if you don't love God. It doesn't matter if you know that the Hebrew word malach is a contraction of malachiah, which means my messenger. It doesn't really matter if you know every word of the Hebrew Bible or the Greek Bible, if you do not love God deep in your soul, none of that so-called knowledge matters. And you know, folks, what matters tomorrow and the day following and the day after that and every single day of your Christian life, what really counts is your love for Jesus Christ, your love for God the Father. In other words, this is a highway. This is a main road. This is the emphasis of the Word of God itself, and always, 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 and ever, we are to stay on that road. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, Master, what is the greatest commandment in all the law? And Jesus answered him. He answered in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. The truth of the matter is, Jesus said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. In that text in Judges, Deborah has a song in those days. And Deborah's song says, our love for God should be, quote, as the sun when it shines and goes forth in its strength. In other words, outshining everything else, eclipsing all others, powerful and evident in your life and everybody else's, ought to be our love for God. So that, guess what? The main highway has to do with your heart. I'll remind you what the Apostle Peter said. Jesus told him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. When he finally did write his epistle and feed the sheep, he said this, add to your faith. He didn't say, when you get saved, add to your faith kindness or knowledge or self-discipline. He said, add to your faith first, virtue. In other words, it's a matter of your heart. Stick to the main highways. Stick to the main road of your love for God. The second roadway I want you to notice, number two, is our love for God's Word. Look again, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's the verse the young people quoted. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly or correctly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because chapter 3, verse 16 says this. Look at it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Love for God, number two, love for God's Word. You see, Peter said this, add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue, knowledge. After all, you look to your heart and its desire for God first. And to do so, you have to understand and know the Word of God. Jesus said to love God with all your heart and soul and all your mind. And so we want these young people to memorize and to love the Word of God. There's a clearly marked roadway in Scripture in Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Solomon is a young man, now an old man who ought to know. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This is it. Well, folks, here's His commandments. "Study to show thyself approved." This is God's Word. The question is, do we love it and cherish it and travel on it as all of us ought to do? Traveling on the highways. You know, I was reading a while back what the Bible says in Proverbs 7 in verse 2. "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." What does that mean? You know, that word, the apple of the eye, is a metaphor used four times in the Bible. And you know what it means? It means not the eyebrow or the eyelid. It's not talking about your eyelashes or the eye socket, but specifically the apple of the eye is right in the front, right there where the pupil rests. So what does God mean when He says, "Keep my word as the apple of your eye"? Well, if you were to turn to the person next to you, I don't advise you to do it, and take your finger and start to poke them right in the eye, you're going to see a reaction. And the reaction is going to be strong and fast and swift. They're going to smack your hand away, or they're going to blink, or they're going to screw. They're going to do something. You know why? That great value, that careful protection of your own eye and your eyelid automatically closing and you're flinching makes the point that that which is precious and valuable and worthy to be jealously protected, God said, "Keep my word as the apple of thine eye." Love it, guard it, cherish it, and most of all, heed whatever it says. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:4, "Timothy, in the last days, people will not want to travel on the highway. They will not want to endure sound doctrine. Instead, they're going to want to listen to themselves, listen to those who will scratch their ears. They will heap to themselves teachers because who will scratch their ears because they have itchy ears and they won't want the truth." Pastor, how about that secret cure for cancer in the Hebrew Bible? How about that toddler who went to heaven and saw things and came back and wrote a book about it? How about that Bible code and the symbols and the dollar bill and the miracle tortilla and the fried chicken that looks like Nebuchadnezzar's vision? Well, what about it? You know, people get all excited, even more excited about these things that are not in the Bible than they do the Bible itself. When David said that this is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. "Oh, Pastor, but I went to the seminar and this teacher showed us how to increase our spiritual energy level 10 times. All I have to do is eat these little green, you know, fungus pills grown from algae in the Sea of Galilee that they brought back that somehow, because Jesus walked on the water, they believe." Look, forget that stuff. Just stick to the main highway of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. Paul told the Corinthians, "I fear that your mind should be corrupted from the what? Simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." What was he saying? He was saying, "I'm afraid that you might get off the road and the roadway, the highway, and the simple path of God's word." But Pastor, haven't you heard? There's revival in some churches in this land, and people are getting visions from God and new revelations and gold dust and signs and wonders, and Christian leaders are having best-selling books, and they're making movies now, Christian movies. They made a movie about Noah. No, they did not make a movie about Noah. They made a movie, and the person's name in the movie was Noah, but it wasn't about Noah. So just stick to the Word of God. I'm reminded of the famine in Amos 8. "Not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord." So let us, let our young people, let our workers, let our teachers, let this church, let parents all stay on the main roads. The main roads of our love for God. You want to teach your children something that matters? Teach them to love God. And to do that, you must love God first. Also, number two, our love for God's word. And then finally, the main highway is our love for others. That's a main road. Paul says, Timothy, my dearly beloved son. You know, back to that question, and I'll close with this. That question about the greatest commandment. Do you remember what Jesus' answer was? His answer to the lawyer was this. The first and great commandment, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. But he didn't finish. He said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When God describes the New Testament church in Acts 2, he says, they, continuing daily with one accord, did eat and drink their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know what they did? They stayed on the main highway. That New Testament church did not get off the highway of loving one another. They didn't get off some tangent, some distraction, and leave behind their love for God's people. They stayed on the road. And I'm telling you tonight that your Christianity and mine is about as deep and effective and strong as the way that we treat the people who are around us in this room. Micah 6:8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. See, Pastor, that sounds really simple. Treat others justly, show others mercy, and walk humbly with God. That's the whole matter. That sounds very simple. Sounds to me like a man or a woman who works hard, pays their bills, loves people, especially their family, loves God, and simply does what's right. Sounds like a main highway to me. Sounds like the roadway of the Word of God. And you know what? These are the Christians. These really are the Christians that change the world. It's not some big-time author who sells a lot of books or some famous evangelist or some musician or some crusader or politician or celebrity who's a Christian. They're not the ones who demonstrate the glory of God the most. It is the rank-and-file believer. It's all those boring Christians that just stayed on the main road and they set in motion a generation of godliness with their children and their grandchildren, and so it goes until Jesus comes again. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. And I pray, God, that as a church and as a people and as these young people who have memorized it, that all of us will stay on the main highway of your word. That we will study to show ourselves approved unto God. That we will recognize, dear Father, that it's foolish to talk about vain words, contentions and questions. I pray, God, that we will only ask the questions that you have called us to ask, for which the answers are found in the Bible. And in having the answers, God, may we walk in it and live in it and love it. May we love you with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God's people said, amen. Greet our visitors.